Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the song of salvation which Zacharias sings in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the inspired word of the Spirit. We pray, "Wash me, dear Lord, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Amen." In and through the only name under heaven by which we are saved, dear fellow redeemed. He just didn't think it could be so. In their old age, how could his wife have a son? Elizabeth had been barren as long as they had been married. Upon hearing the word of Gabriel, Zacharias responds, "How will I know this for myself? My wife is old, and I am old." Zacharias' mouth was shut. Of course, as promised, Elizabeth did conceive and did bring forth a son, and his name was John. It was not until Zacharias saw this fulfillment and had that opportunity to really confess his faith in what God had accomplished by naming him John that his mouth was opened again. 9 months he had been mute, not able to speak a word. Now that his tongue was finally loosed, what would he say? We call the song of Zacharias the Benedictus. It comes from the first verse in our text, meaning the blessing. Full of the Holy Spirit, he opens his mouth to say, "Blessed the Lord God of Israel." As we considered last week's with Mary's song, so also here, Zacharias doesn't sing about himself or anything he's done. It's all about what God has done and who God is. We hear a song that prepares the way for the birth of another son. We hear a song that prepares for the coming of Christ the Lord among us. The theme of this song of Zacharias may be thought of as liberation. Verse 70, he has redeemed his people, meaning he has bought back his people from a slavery. He's paid the price. Verse 69, he's raised up salvation. He's lifted out of the depths of our misery a deliverance. Verse 71, liberation from enemies. Verse 74, liberation from fear. Indeed, the way of the Lord brings salvation. Zacharias' son will be the forerunner, the one who will pave the way for the coming of the liberator. He prepares the way of the Lord. We hear Zacharias in verse 76, "And you, child," speaking of John, "will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, by the forgiveness of their sins." We see here in verse 77 that Zacharias isn't talking about a liberation from government or through government. Rather, he doesn't speak merely of coping with your guilt or your personal struggles. He speaks of complete freedom. And he speaks in terms of sin. Any preparation for our Lord's coming that doesn't think of sin and the true spiritual enemies we face really doesn't make ready for his coming. For what is at the root of all we suffer and all we deal with? It's sin. It's of a spiritual nature. The way it's prepared by knowing that God delivers through the forgiveness of sin. That's what John came to bring. To clear the way. Really to get us out of the way. When the Lord comes into the flesh, it's not to help encourage you, to tell you to do better. He says in verse 68, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and he has redeemed his people." God becoming flesh was to do what you and I could never do because of the bondage we have to sin in our sinful flesh. When the angel appears to Zacharias and he tells him that he's going to conceive of the forerunner for the Messiah, you see how his flesh gets in the way? You see how somehow he thinks the work of God is going to be contingent on his ability, his physical capabilities to give birth to a son. The angel says to Mary later on, "Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, for with God nothing is impossible." How often do we get in the way of the way of the Lord? We think God's purpose somehow is going to depend on me and what I do, my capabilities. Perhaps we think financial security depends on how hard I work or putting in the long hours. Perhaps we think our goals for retirement are going to rest in our wisdom to invest and use our money wisely. Perhaps we think our future church growth and survival is going to rest on our budgeting methods or creative outreach ideas. Perhaps we have a problem in our family and we think, "I'm the one that's going to solve that problem." Or we think, "That person can never be helped." In all these things, we really are only preparing for our way. We think being a better Christian means being a better Christian, doing more Christian things. These are our Zacharias moments, where we get in the way, thinking liberty from sin has to do with something we do. As always, the largest obstacle to the Lord's coming is me. Our flesh will always be in darkness. It will always be in bondage to sin. It will always be coming up with works of righteousness, denying our unrighteousness, and getting in the way of the Lord's coming. Notice how the work of preparing in verse 77 is the knowledge of salvation. The way of the Lord is something that we learn. We think about that. John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The work of John was to teach and preach a way of salvation, not to do a way of salvation. Being a better Christian is to realize that you're not a better Christian, that that's not what your salvation is about. The work of the Spirit is to get us out of the way. As Paul writes, "Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted." Indeed, our songs of salvation do center in preaching and teaching, learning and hearing, believing and repenting. After all, repentance is only to lay your sins before God, and faith only receives what God declares, forgiveness. The only one doing anything is God. This is the knowledge that prepares the way. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies. Learn to know your sins. To come to an understanding of where your weaknesses lie. Where my weaknesses lie. After all, the enemies we really battle are the devil, the world, and our flesh. They're spiritual in nature. All these were those that God came to defeat, to conquer for you, so that the knowledge of salvation comes through the forgiveness of sins that Christ has gone to the cross to conquer all that you struggle with, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Now we find out what being a better Christian is all about. It's about receiving that righteousness that God has already accomplished. To serve God without obligation, without fear. You're delivered from your enemies. It's a liberation from those who oppress you, who treat you poorly at work, even when you're doing a good job. From those who tease you at school, even though you really have only done the right thing. It's a liberation from those who criticize you for not doing something sinful that everybody else is doing. As we considered Sunday how the Lord will appear suddenly in His temple, Malachi prophesied. To do what? To purify the sons of Levi. Meaning Christ has come to cleanse you from all those sins so that you can, as He puts it, present an offering in righteousness so that you can serve without being afraid. Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Christmas is a time when we think a lot about peace. TV shows, the soldiers coming home for Christmas. People talk a lot about what we can do to get peace on earth. The angels, some of it. And yet how emphatically Zechariah speaks of peace in terms of sin and salvation, of heaven and hell. Meaning the peace that Christ has brought is not outward or earthly, but eternal. You will struggle. You'll struggle with your own sinful flesh. These outward things are not going to go away because the peace which God gives is something that rests in heaven and is given by faith. Finances, things falling apart in your life, things letting you down, you letting yourself down, you letting God down, are always going to be there. Or are they? The days of the devil, the days of the world, and the days of our flesh are numbered. But our days of peace are not. Indeed, Christ has put an end to these things. It's only a matter of time. For the way of the Lord is the way of Jesus Christ. To follow Him is to struggle. The way of Christ was barns and feed troughs, suffering and death. And we follow in that way, by faith, by the cross that goes before us. So be like the wise man. See the light. See the star in the east that the Savior seems so far away, and yet you know you're going to get there. You know God has promised that there is a Savior there in Bethlehem. And so you follow. You look beyond the loneliness, the suffering, to see the glory that is going to come, the eternal peace and rest you'll have in heaven. For as you know, Jesus has gone before, so will you. Jesus has risen, so will you. Jesus stands enthroned in glory forever, so will you. You see how these Old Testament songs fit into our New Testament lives? For Christ came out of the Old Testament and into your life. He came out of all those promises and into fulfillment. We're in a time of preparation. Like Zacharias, we are looking for the coming of our Savior, the return, His final return. And we do so, as Zacharias did, with mouths open by faith, singing the songs of salvation, focused only in one thing, that God has visited and redeemed his people. We close with a reading from Peter. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now you, for a little while, have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll continue by gathering the fruits of our faith with our offering. Thank you.